Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello everyone, welcome to Grecian's Gossip. We are slightly depleted here today. Dave and Howard are off, but no fear because myself, Jeremy Hawkins and Daniel Clock is here today to run the show, which must go on, as they say. Daniel, we were sat here 2 weeks ago wondering where the points were going to come from with these horrible run of fixtures. Here we are, we've beaten Notts County and Coventry City. Where's it all gone right?
Well, I think both games have sort of been fairly crucial. That they scored early and they took the lead in both games. And as we've seen this season, it seems to be a case that once they get ahead, they don't. There's not many games I can think of where they've gone on and lost from the lead. I think Crawley they were winning away and collapsed a little bit there and lost, but I think pretty much every other game that they've got that first goal, they've taken the lead, they've gone on to either win the game or hold on for a draw, and they've also been an element they've struggled to chase games as well, particularly if you're setting up with a slightly more defensive lineup than we've seen perhaps in previous seasons. So getting the early goal against Coventry was crucial, and again they got an early goal against Notts County last week, and they went and built on it. They got the second as well, and it gave them something to hold on to. And it was perhaps a little tighter than it needed to be, but they saw out the game quite well, and it was a really big win, that Notts County one, not just because of the fact that it keeps them in the playoffs, and if they'd lost, they'd have dropped out. Outside the playoffs, and then having to chase points, but also it drags Notts County back into a second automatic promotion spot is up for grabs. When a few weeks ago we were sort of thinking Luton and Notts County is sort of stretching away, they've got that gap. Now Notts County just slipped up a little bit, and they lost again last night due to one of the bizarre penalty decisions or decisions from the goalkeeper to kick someone in open play in stoppage time in the penalty box, which has to be seen to be believed almost. But now they're they're only a couple of points ahead, having played two games more than other sides. And, if Exeter win, they will have two games in hand by the time they play Forest Green next week. They win those both games in hand, they'll go second. And, you can't really argue with that, really.
No, I think, for me, the most impressive thing about City this season is how well they've been able to see games out. We won, the first four or five home games 1-0 with relatively early goals. And, I always said the Notts County game, I think whoever gets the first goal is always cliche, but if City get it, you'd always back them to hold on. If Notts County get it, you think it's going to be a long afternoon. But I don't think I was alone when Notts County got the goal back. Panicking and fearing the worst, as we saw last season at Meadow Lane, throwing away a two-goal lead. But having said that, it looks like City had the chances. I think Stockley at the bar and the post later on in the game, despite Kevin Nolan apparently claiming they completely dominated the second half. So it was a brilliant result for the club. It gives them massive confidence and, as you said, it really pulls Notts County back into it now. You still fancy Luton to not only get promoted, but to win the league. But it was a massive result for Wickham, Accrington, Coventry, all winners as well. So it really shows that they actually can compete with the best. Because I think earlier on in the season, when we lost to Coventry, Notts County and Luton, thinking, OK, we can beat the teams we should down the bottom of the league, but it can't really compete with the top teams. But that's been completely reversed in the last couple of weeks. And you say we can go up to second or third, but With no game on Saturday, of course, due to the FA Cup, meant to be playing Yeovil Town, obviously, but they're playing a little club called Manchester United in the FA Cup Friday night. Could end up dropping down all the way to ninth.
Yeah, and I suppose that's sort of just, you know, the fact that it shows, obviously, that Notts County win just a little bit extra importance that they got the 3 points there, because, you know, had they not got that, you know, game, then you sort of, you know, and the results, you know, there's a few games, Accrington, you know, Mike would fancy their chances at Crawley, you'd think, you know, Swindon at home to Crewe, you'd think they'd win, Mansfield at Morecambe, they'd probably fancy getting something from that. You could have then looked at a situation where, you know, okay, you've got the two games in hand, but you have sort of 3, maybe 4, 5 points off the playoffs, which leading you into a situation where you've got to win those games in hand just to catch up, because it's all very tight around there. But you don't really want to be at any stage more than a win behind, you know, that target place that you've got into, and it's obviously with. You know, they're in a bit of a, you know, difficult run of games. Obviously, Forest Green picked up a little bit since, you know, they're still down at the bottom, but their just form's picking up a little bit. They're scoring goals, and then obviously they got that trip to Luton, which is going to be, you know, a very difficult to get anything out of that one. Probably, you know, you might pencil in a defeat there, and then obviously, you know, a couple of home game against Wickham the week after, and then to a sort of a run of, you've got 3 trips to the north of the country, north away trips in 10 days, which, you know, okay, the sides, I think it's Morecambe and Grimsby and Crewe, or sort of Port Vale, I think, is in there actually instead of Morecambe, but all that, they're 3 games that you'd look at and you go, on paper, probably you'd fancy winning 2 of them, but, you know, the fact that's 3 long trips in the space of 10 days, plus a home game in between as well, that's, you know, it's going to take its toll in some way. You'd probably, you know, see yourself dropping points, and, you know, you don't want to get into a difficult run, and then all of a sudden, when it gets a little bit easier at the end of the season, you might almost be chasing it too much rather than in a position at the minute where you can afford a loss every so often, just, and you'll still be in and around, you know, in the playoffs and effectively in the top three once the games in hand have been played. But, you know, obviously, I don't think Exeter would want to go into that game against Forest Green in ninth spot in the league. But if they are, they, you know, it's in a case that it's in their own hands, that they can, you know, leap back up to where they should be. That, you know, it's Yeovil at home and Forest Green at home. The game's in hand. You'd look at that and you'd say you'd write 4 points bare minimum what you'd want from those two, and, you know, that would get them back up. And obviously, does give Exeter just a little bit of a break in the season. Obviously, 10 days off without a game, you know, chance for a few players to come back from injuries. You know, I don't think Jordan Mortelo and Troy Brown are too far away. So, the 10-day break might mean we see them next Wednesday night. But if not, you know, it just allows anyone with a few minor injuries. I think, you know, Lee Holmes and Hiram Boateng can just recover a little bit and, you know, be fully fresh for that next run of difficult games.
Could be interesting to see the players that come back, and there'll be a lot of eyes on various games on Saturday. So a quick word on the under-23s, who picked up a 1-1 draw with Hull City on Monday. It's looked like a strong team from Tisdale or Matt Taylor, who's in charge of that side, of course. And it looks like it's a competition they're taking seriously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you can see some of the players playing. It's as an element of giving them some game time. The likes of Matt Jay, Liam McAlinden, Alex Byrne, another one, you know, haven't played a lot of football in recent weeks, so, you know, gives them a game. Obviously, Kyle Edwards and Kane Wilson, they played as well, obviously coming back from a loan spell, again, not having played games time. And I think actually they'll probably be a little disappointed that they only drew the game that. Because I think they won away at Hull earlier in the season, and, you know, it was a chance really to, you know, to stretch the lead in the group and sort of, you know, on the verge of, you know, of going through. I think just looking at the groups, I think Exeter are the only non-Premier League side at this stage who are top of the group, and the only one at this point who are, you know, the only non-Championship side, or any non-Premier League or Championship side who aren't bottom of the group. So that says a lot about the academy that they're, you know, competing with these, you know, Premier League sides. Okay, you might not think too much of Brighton, Hull, and Sunderland's academies, but you know they've got good players in there. You think to be on their books, so, you know, they've got some experience around there as well. And to be top of the group with two games to go is a position, you know, I think you'd take, you know, definitely as it is. I mean, they've got a chance of going through, getting into the knockout stages, and you know, getting some good games. I don't think, fortunately, I think the next two games, the final two games, don't sort of feel, you know, fit, you know, sort of, or land too well for Exeter. They've got a Sunday game, the day after a game, and then I think it's the three, you know, the midweek that they've got free, and, well, you know, I think at the end of February, start of March, and the only midweek they've got free, they've got the other game. So it's, you know, it might be that for the next two games, you can't quite put out such a strong side, but again, it gives a chance for the youngsters to step up and show what they can do. And, you know, so far, they haven't let anyone down. And, you know, you sort of think, you're sort of looking, okay, obviously, we've, you know, Ethan Ampadu's obviously come through the ranks. He's, you know, sort of in and around the Chelsea squad. And Ollie Watkins is obviously, you know, tearing it up for Brentford at the minute. And there's a lot of others of them as well. And you're sort of looking, okay, this is a chance for these guys to make their name, you know, and impress, watching Premier League and Championship managers who, you know, he'll be there for their under-23s, but a good performance, they could put in, you know, they might take a look and go, you know what, we need this guy in our squad.
Mm. And during that draw against Hull, there was, of course, a debut for Ryan Loft, who's joined on loan until the end of the season from Tottenham Hotspur. A striker, 20 years old. He's been on loan at Braintree and Stevenage, I believe, and didn't look like he perhaps got off to, you know, what he would have liked there. Didn't score a goal, I understand, but he's got a few for the Tottenham's development squad. Despite this, Dan, he's got a bit of a mixed reception. Sounds like another target man. It's not really what City need.
I think that's more, it's not so much the player himself that there seems to be a bit of a backlash against. It's the style of play, or so what, you know, what the scouting reports on him have said. I mean, obviously, Exeter, they've got Jaden Stockley up there. They've got Robbie Simpson and Ryan Brunt, you know, two players who are coming back to fitness. I think Simpson been in a few squads and obviously played a couple of under-23 games. So, you know, he's probably back to full fitness. But, you know, adding a fourth, you know, on the face of it, similar kind of player, you know, a big man up front, you know, possibly going to prefer the ball in the air rather than to the feet. You sort of feel there's an element of, do we need this number of players who, you know, are essentially the same? And it, you know, there's been a little bit of a, you know, a few murmurs of discontent about City playing a bit long, you know, a bit more long ball this season than they have in recent times. And you know, if you're going to play Loft and Stockley up front as a duo, whether that's something Paul Tisdale's thinking of, or whether, you know, he's more an option off the bench or to freshen things up, I don't know. But if the two of them started up front, you wouldn't expect, you know, too much, you know, short passing. It'd be quite, you know, long balls, you know, get the two of them in the game, winning, you know, whether they can link up so one of them wins the headers and one chases after it or not, we're not sure. But you kind of, you know, it does sort of, you know, smack as if it's going to be going away from the free-flowing football that they've tried to play in recent times, and sort of perhaps might marginalise some of the more creative players in the side, who have, well, the likes of Ryan Harley and Lloyd James in recent weeks have been some of City's better players, and you'd rather have, you know, perhaps have the ball at their feet rather than full-backs launching long diagonals and bypassing the midfield. But I suppose that, you know, if you look at it, and, you know, it's another man in and around the squad. I mean, we were thinking City a little light up front with Ruben Reid having gone, so they needed to bring somebody in to replace him. Perhaps, you know, if, you know, Brunt might be further away from full fitness than we think, you know, or Paul Tisdale thought. I mean, Robbie Simpson, you know, he obviously tried hard last season, but the goals just didn't come for him, and perhaps he's thinking, you know, Loft is a better option than those two to, you know, to be that, you know, the reserve target man if Stockley's not unavailable for any reason.
Mm. But he's here for, you know, the rest of the season, so fingers crossed he does well. It'll be interesting to see what sort of impact he has on the team. I think, you know, given the way Tisdale set out his teams, he'll perhaps might not start him as much initially. Obviously, you want Jaden Stockley as the main striker. And yeah, I guess with the more direct tactic, I think, particularly at home, you can understand it at the moment with the current state of the pitch. It's very difficult to get the ball down and play it properly. But it's working, you know. It's perhaps isn't the most pleasant on the eye, but at the end of the day, it's getting the results. And for me, it's result first, performance second, especially in League Two when it's such an unpredictable league where you want to get as many points as you can, no matter how the goals come. Let's just look on ahead on Saturday. Obviously, City aren't playing. It's a great chance to go and support, you know, other local teams in and around Exeter. And we at Devon Live are hoping to attend the game from the Devon and Exeter League, Exwick Villa against Heavitry United in the Premier Division. And we're hoping to go and cover it like we do an Exeter City match, do a live blog, a match report, speak to the managers after the game, perhaps a few Facebook Lives. And we want as many people to go as possible, and it'd be great if anyone listening could pop down for a couple hours. I'm sure there'll be a few doubts as to whether the game will go on, given the weather situation, but they actually play on a 3G pitch, so you'd think the game will more likely be on than not. We're also inviting the Red Legion to come on down as well. So if anyone there is listening to this, please get in touch with us, because we want to get you guys involved. We think it's great to show, you know, other local teams support. And let's face it, if Exeter City aren't playing, what else are you going to do on a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, obviously, you know, there's obviously lots of other games going on in and around Exeter or further afield, if, you know, not all of our fans are from Exeter, you know, from further afield. So obviously, you know, if you can, you know, go along, find a game on a Saturday afternoon, you know, sit there and, you know, or stand and watch a game for 90 minutes. I'm sure the players all and you know, managers of those clubs will be very much appreciative of, you know, the extra support on the touchlines, and obviously sort of the grassroots games where a lot of the players come through, and it needs support to survive, really. And, you know, I suppose we, you know, as an element, we're perhaps a little guilty of sometimes not giving it the coverage that it deserves. So it'd be good to, you know, if, obviously without the City not having a game, and obviously Yeovil playing on the Friday night, Talk United away as well, so there's not really a lot of a, you know, professional football going on in Devon on the Saturday. So go along and find a local team and watch one of those instead.
And I believe entry is only £2 to Exeter Villa on Saturday, and you get a programme with it as well, so what could be better? And I think it's an early kick-off. I want to say it's 2:15, so got to make sure not to be caught out early. I certainly will try not to. Let's just have a look, quick look ahead to Forest Green next Tuesday.
Wednesday,
of course. That's going to catch a few people out, I think.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously, the original game was called off on Box Day on, well, if you can call it a footballing surface or a swimming pool. Given the previous fixtures between these two games, four meetings, it's going to be another classic, isn't it?
Well, it's got potential to be. Obviously, the cup games were some two really good games, you know, that they won up at Forest Green earlier in the season. I think less said about the Boxing Day game. It never really got going, and I think pretty much everyone knew early on that there was no chance that game was going to finish. But, you know, it sort of, you feel it might sort of favour Forest Green just a little bit, because they're coming into a bit more form. They've obviously, you know, signed Reuben Reid since that last game, and he'll obviously be back at the park for you know, obviously to show that he thinks Forest Green played Exeter off the park in every single game they've played this season. So it'll be up to, you know, you see if that continues or whether, you know, Exeter can, you know, get a bit of revenge and make him eat his words a little bit. But, you know, obviously Christian Deutsch keeps scoring goals for Forest Green. I think they put five past some, you know, teams a couple of weekends ago, and they are looking like a side who, I think they're continuing to spend in January, so they're going to make sure that, you know, they're doing everything they possibly can to make sure that they're still a league club next season, and they're getting better as the season goes on. So for Exeter's point of view, they probably would have preferred the game to have, you know, been dealt with on Boxing Day, because they look a better side now, Forest Green, than they did earlier in the season. You'd still think Exeter, particularly with the rest, should be the better side. They should have enough to get the job done on the day, but it should be a good game, and obviously slightly ruin a transfer deadline day for everyone as well, playing on the 31st of January, so unlikely to be too many last minute signings, you'd imagine, unless they're from Forest Green.
Yes, it's certainly going to be a massive game for both sides. Obviously a City win, given, you know, no game on Saturdays, could be huge in terms of promotion, could really climb up the table. But a win for Forest Green could see them climb out of the bottom two, so it's going to be a really interesting contest. Shall we have a little prediction for the game?
I'm going to go 2-0 City.
Okay, I'm going for goals, but given City's impressive home form, I'll also go for a win, but a narrow one, 2-1. So there we are. Anyway, thanks very much for tuning in. Like I said, if you could pop down to a local game on Saturday, like I said, we're hoping to get down to Exeter Villa. We'll keep any updates on devonlive.com. But until then, we'll enjoy the Forest Green game. Hopefully it will go the distance this time around. And hopefully this time next week, we'll be talking about Exeter City in at least the top three.